One, thank you and welcome to our service. I pray, as Sabrina says, that you'll all be blessed and no one will leave this place the way that you came in. As you can see, our theme is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace came to bring peace on earth. Is there peace? Wednesday, there's a celebration. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. And we know what's going on in the world. We can see it. We watch the TV. We read the newspapers. It's even if you watch EastEnders, I'm told, it's playing out in there. Christmas Day, I'm told, in EastEnders, there's always a drama. There's plays flying across the room. Everyone's arguing. But this year, we're praying that in the name of Jesus, each and every one of us, we'll remember the Prince of Peace as we celebrate with our family. This is an amazing Christmas story. The Christmas story is so amazing. It is a true story. It's amazing. It is beautiful. And believe me, it is not a fairy tale. I've been watching Christmas movies since September, sadly, I must admit. And if you watch them, they make you laugh and they make you think that, wow, everything is so wonderful. What's our problem? What's going on in our world? This is amazing. Everything's fine. They fall in love at the end and everything's happy and the family join in. But for most family, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. We just saw Mum and Max. We just saw that story play out. And that is a true story. That plays out every year in our lives. It was a script that Helen did, but it was from my heart because she more than likely may have seen things like that in her lives. This story is our only hope of peace on earth. Yet it was an eventful and stressful time for Mary and Joseph and their baby Jesus. Our one true king was born during the reign of that tyrant King Herod. The people were waiting for the Prince of Peace to deliver them from the hands of Herod. But certainly, they did not expect our Prince of Peace to be born, to come into the world, enter the world the way he did. There was no pomp, there was no ceremony, and his birth was not announced on the notice board in front of Buckingham Palace or any other palace. And it was never on social media either. Yet, he was the Prince of Peace. God chose the humble shepherds to share the good news of the birth of his one and only son. He didn't choose anyone who was rich and famous. He didn't choose any kings. He chose the humble shepherd. That's humility. That's how God wants us to be this Christmas. We're hoping for that and we're praying for that. God knew we would fall from grace. So he sent his son to save us from our sin and give us peace. Did we find the peace we so long for? No. We're still searching. We're still praying. Year after year, at Christmas time, we join with others all around the globe praying that God's peace will reign on earth through his son, the Prince of Peace. These prayers continue throughout the year. Yet we see conflict after conflict all around the world. There are some that's no longer mentioned, but it still exists. And the worst thing about most of these conflicts is that children are always the worst one suffering. In Yemen, we see the children. They are starving. There's no medicine for them. They are dying. And yet in the Western world, we have a comfortable life. Sometimes we need to be disturbed. God needs to disturb us. He needs to shake us up. We are getting too comfortable. We need to come out of our comfort zone and face what is going on in our world. The Prince of Peace came to give peace. God loves us so much, and yet we are still so far away from him. We're so far away from peace. The peace that we so long for seems to be slipping further and further away from us. It seems as if conflict is everywhere. It is not everywhere, but it does seem as if it is. Nations are at war against each other. No country is immune. And here in the UK, we have our share of it. We thank God that the tide is turning on Brexit. That was a terrible time when we see politicians acting worse than children. We had to watch that. We had our children watching that and seeing. That's not the way we live, children. That's not the way we ought to live. Remember that. That was a terrible example of adults, and we apologize for that. God is able to save. Peace will come. Peace will come. We know that. We're praying for Brexit. We mustn't stop praying for Brexit because it's not finished. And we may, the final result of Brexit may cause further conflicts. So for that, we need to keep that item on our prayers because it will affect everyone in this country. Conflict, conflict. We see our young men and even boys dying on our streets due to knife and gun crime in our community, in Edmonton by the bus stations. You see all around us. You hear about it daily. Yet we crave for peace. Parents are struggling. Some parents are struggling to go to sleep at night because they're thinking, is the police going to ring my bell and tell me that my son is in hospital or my son has been killed? Let's face facts. Christmas is an amazing, happy time, but this is going on our doorsteps. This is causing heartbreak and devastation in the families and the wider community. Apart from this, we have other forms of conflict in families that causes heartache and division. It's a difficult time, but God is still in it. He's still able. He will deliver. We're tired of conflict, so we continue to pray. God loves us so much. Again, I'm saying God loves us so much, and still we're far away from peace. All is not lost. We know that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there will be peace. As children of God, we have hope because we know that the Prince of Peace will come again and there will be peace forevermore. If the Christmas movies, the TV advert, the scenes in our shopping malls, the high streets are to be believed, then everyone is happy, peaceful, financially stable, crime-free. And as for families, well, we're all just wonderful, we're kind, we're loving, and we're caring. It's not true. We crave to be that, but it's not true. Why? Because sin and conflict in families began at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. And did it get any better? You think it did? And it's not for God trying. He's tried and he's tried and he's tried. It's a difficult time. Sometimes I think God weeps for us. He's thinking, I've given them everything. I gave my son on the cross, and yet they continue to disobey me. They continue to live against my will. He must have tears. It's not easy. God is able to do all things. He is in and through all of us. Yet his heart must break for us. The conflict and the sin that started in the Garden of Eden continued in just Genesis alone, just the first part of Genesis. We see conflict in families. We think of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael, and Isaac, the parents and the two children. We know Sarah couldn't have children, so Hagar became the first surrogate mother. And if most of us know this story, it didn't work as it should. Sarah decided that she needs to go with her son. It's affecting Isaac. She's not looking at me right. She's not doing what I say. Conflict started again. Isaac got married to Rebecca. What happened? They had Esau and Jacob. It continued. There's a saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You could say this. Sadly, it didn't stop at Abraham and Sarah. And Jacob, Laban, Leah, and Rachel. It continued. This continues and continues and continues, and today we are still facing this situation. Yet the Prince of Peace came to bring peace on earth. Jacob cheated his father. His father-in-law cheated him. Jacob's family fell in the same trap as his parents. The saga continues with his children, which led to the problem of Joseph and his brothers. And you know this story. Joseph was favored. His brothers didn't like him. All because the father decided they need to have a favorite. Parents, there's no favorites. All our children are different. They do different things. I'm telling you, minds are so different. Sometimes I want to strangle them. But believe me, they are different. They all do different things and they irritate us. But they know, they need to know that there are no favorites. And it's difficult sometimes, believe me. My oldest one, she comes around with her two kids and she eats and she goes, oh, Mom, I said, Denise, are you going to wash up before you go? Oh, Mom, the block wall tunnel is going to close soon. Oh, can you wash up for me? I said, eh? And Siobhan says, Mom, don't let her go. Don't let her go. She can't leave the dirty plates here. We're not a servant. I says, okay, guys, done. Never says I'll wash them. Hey, result. Kids are different. They are going to be different. But there mustn't be any favorite. And if there is, don't let them know, please. Don't let them know. It will destroy your families. God knew he had to do something about it. This was only the beginning of Genesis. We hadn't got any further. And all this conflict was going on in the families. God knew that we would get tired of waiting for the Messiah. So God sent prophets to encourage and warn us against our evil's way. He used dreams and supernatural occurrences to remind us that we are not forgotten. And the Messiah is on his way to save us. In Genesis 49:10 says, this scripture will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendant. Isaiah 11:10, in that day the hair of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to the world. And Micah 5:5, when he comes to rule the people, his people with the strength that comes from the Lord, with the majesty of the Lord himself, his people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness and he will bring peace. He will bring peace. He's our peacemaker. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Despite all the warnings, we continue to sin. I think God got tired of us because for 400 years, there was no word from him. He was planning. No word from God. Imagine if we lived in that time and all that time, all those generations that passed, there was nothing from God. No word. How would we feel? How would we feel that? We're speaking to him and there's nothing coming back. There's nothing coming back. It happened. The prophet Malachi was the last voice to speak the word of God in Israel. God was silently waiting for the appointed time to begin his program of peace through his son, Jesus Christ. It's a difficult time. I remember the very first time I stood here, I was shaking and I'm still shaking today. It was Mother's Day in 2011. Pastor Joe told me, he didn't even ask me. He says, Martella, you're giving the word at both the service. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11-15. And I'm thinking, really? Mother's Day? What's it got to do with Mother's Day? Really, Joe, I can't do it. And he looked at me and he says, you're a mother. End of story. I thought he was having a laugh. But God always has the final word on everything. This is verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 5. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. He expects us to be doing this, already doing. Verse 15, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always, always try to do good to each other and to all people. Not just our friends, not just the people we like, to all people. What's this got to do with Christmas? Everything, everything it has to do with this time of year. These are words of encouragement, comfort, love, unity, forgiveness, and peace. If we can follow the instruction in these two verses, then peace will reign in our lives. It will. For us to live as Christ intended, we need to live in peace until the second coming of our Prince of Peace. This peace must begin in our homes, with our families, our extended families, and our church families. Because if we can't live in peace in this place, then whoa, let us do good when no one is watching. I'm going to pass to pray. Abba Father, Prince of Peace, we cry out to you this morning, Father God, recognizing that you are the vine and we are the branches. Help us, Father God, to remain in you so that you may remain in us, bearing fruits of peace. Father God, this morning we pray especially for Kelvin. Father, give him the peace that passes all understanding at this moment, Father God. Father God, we also pray for Claire and her family, and her father especially, O God. Put your healing upon him, O God. Bless this family, O God. Cover them with the blood of Jesus and let them know that you are there and you love them. Father God, we know, Father, that apart from you, we can do nothing. So in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would raise up peacemakers throughout the world. Peacemakers with the mind of Christ and the heart for your people in this country, in our community, and in this place. Father, bring peace to your world. Turn our hearts of stone into hearts of peace, love, and a mutual understanding and tolerance of each other. We pray especially for families in our congregation and the local community who are faced with conflicts and grief during this time. Lord, remember mercy. Amen. To conclude, as we sit down with our families this Christmas, enjoying the festivities, let us remember other families where Christmas can be a very difficult time for a lot of people. And while we may have peace in our homes, conflict is raging in other homes. Let us lift up the Prince of Peace, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, imagine, through his power that is at work within us. Let us leave this space this morning with these words from Romans 12, 17 to 18, and pass them down to your children and your children's children. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, me, live at peace with everyone. Hebrews 13, 20 to 10 to 1. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Stay blessed and have a wonderful Christmas, filled with the joy and peace of our Heavenly Father. May his grace rest and abide with you throughout Christmas and the coming year. Amen.